All right. Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone. Ladies and gentlemen and everyone in between. This is Tony's Political Ramblings, episode 23. And so this is not an episode that I'm going to enjoy making as much as I liked making the other ones, simply because of the very alarming and concerning implications that this episode has. And so today is July 6th of 2021. And this is the 6th month anniversary of the January 6th terrorist attacks on the U.S. Capitol that were done in order to overthrow overturn the 2020 presidential election of our current president, Joe Biden. And so let's just go back real quick. Again, this is not a happy story to tell. This is a dark day in our nation's history, but it's important to go back and take a look. So to make this very brief, at around noon, former President Trump gave a speech outside on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. And it was the same old fare that he had been putting forth, the same old garbage that he had won the election and that it was on Mike Pence to unilaterally overturn the election and to not certify the election. And Mike Pence did not do that. Mike Pence was the vice president at the time. Mike Pence did not have the power to overturn the election unilaterally, and he refused to do anything related to that. He wanted the results to stand as the people had said so. So Trump spoke for over an hour, riling an angry mob up outside of the U.S. Capitol, telling people that they would fight like hell, to use his words, and that they would do whatever it took to save the country. And so this is after months of planning and setting up that today, you know, January 6th was going to be a crazy day in American history. And I would use the word dark, as I've already used, to describe it better than crazy. But after that, the angry mob of domestic terrorists started moving closer and closer to the U.S. Capitol to stop the certification of the Electoral College votes. So just basically to explain that, back in November, the people voted and Joe Biden won the presidential election via the Electoral College system. And so each state sent over their Electoral College votes to Congress in order for them to certify the elections, those election votes, to make sure that they're legitimate. And it's a really lengthy and complicated process. It sounds nice on paper, but it's a bit of a hassle. And when things like this happen, it makes it look obsolete. And so basically, as soon as Republicans got to a state that they thought Trump was going to win but ended up losing, which was Arizona, which I was the third state and down the line, of course, they had no qualms with Alabama and Alaska, Trump won by a decent margin. They had no problem with those two states, but only the ones that Biden won by a narrow margin did they have any concerns with. And so at that point, Ted Cruz and let me take a look at his name real quick. Let me make sure I have the name properly. Right. Paul Gosar of Arizona and Ted Cruz of Texas, a rep and a senator, basically challenged the results of Arizona and said, no, we don't believe that those are legitimate. So Congress went on recess, and right around then, when they were on recess, around 2 o'clock, the first terrorist broke into the Capitol building and opened the door for others to come in. And they came in at that point. They ransacked the place, causing millions of dollars in damages, threatening the lives of various representatives and senators, and brutally murdered Capitol Police officers and brutally attacked Capitol Police officers, even though these are often the same people you hear saying Blue Lives Matter. So after this long attack and there are a lot more details that make this seem a lot more coordinated, as it is, the DC mayor, Mayor Bowser of DC attempted to call in the National Guard, but since DC is not a state, they had to get that approved. It did not, even though it very much would have been. So the arrival of military support had to come from the Virginia and Maryland National Guard, which are the two states on either side of DC. And so it had to come from there. And as soon as they came in, the situation began to settle. But that is not to overlook that this was the first time that there was an attack and entry on the U.S. Capitol since the War of 1812. Over 200 years had passed between a major attack and entrance and breaching of the United States Capitol like that. So let's not understate how much of a violation of our nation's and our citizens' rights, freedoms, and power. And so since then, Merrick Garland, Attorney General, has pointed out that there are 500 defendants who have already been charged and arrested with their connections to the January 6th terrorist attacks. And 12 of them have already pleaded guilty. And there are hundreds still along the way. Hundreds of investigations that are still on the way and still coming along. So the current government is doing everything in its power, the federal level, to bring these people to justice and to make sure that this sort of thing is not encouraged in the future. But it's not that simple. So since then, in addition to these 500 arrests, there have also been 47 states who have introduced measures to make it more difficult to vote. 47 of our 50 United States Republican parties have made attempts to write new laws that will make it harder for you to vote. Let me just say that again. 47 of the 50 United States Republican parties in the state legislature have attempted to pass bills that will make it harder for you to vote. This is following the first real attack on the United States Capitol in over 200 years. And this is following months and months and months of lies coming from former President Donald Trump on the status of the 2020 presidential election. This is a concentrated effort to restrict the right to vote so that Republicans can remain in power and do whatever they want despite of the consent of the governed telling them otherwise. It is an open violation of the United States Constitution. And it is a smack in the face to each and every last founding father that they praise for their bravery. And this is not just to say that 47 states have proposed laws. 9 have already acted them out. They are as follows: Arizona, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Iowa, Kentucky, Montana, Utah, and Wyoming. So let me just bring another point of emphasis to you here. If you're in any of those 9 states, the Republican-controlled state legislatures have passed laws that will make it harder for you to vote. Let me just think about that for a moment. If you live in those 9 states, it is now more difficult for you to vote because Democrats won the House, the Senate, and the presidency in 2020. I've brought attention to this specific clause or section in the laws in Georgia. But now in the state of Georgia, it is illegal to bring somebody water while they are waiting in line to vote. So while you may hear that these laws are for voter security or all that, that's just simply not true. If bringing water to somebody standing in line to vote is a threat, then I think whoever came up with that probably needs to reassess their definition of what a threat is, and perhaps look in the mirror to see who the real threat to voter security is. So while this has been a rather gloomy episode here, there is two very simple pieces of legislation that are on the Senate floor right now, and that can be passed right now, that would work to create a system that has nonpartisan electoral districts, the drawing up of those districts, that removes a lot of dark money from the political system, and would secure the right to vote for each and every American who wants to. They are two acts, as I said. This is the For the People Act, and the other is the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. These two bills, as I said, would create a United States voting system that would be less dependent on corporations and dark money. It would clean up a lot of campaign finance laws. It would create a U.S. voter system that is free and fair for everyone. And it would create a system that cannot be threatened by Republican-led state legislatures. And these bills can be passed, and they can be passed right now because they're in Congress. All we need is enough people to make enough noise. And these two bills that in my eyes are fundamental to the continued success of this nation will be passed. And your sacred right to vote will be forever enshrined in U.S. law.